This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and welcome to the afternoon All Local.
Hurricane Francine, no longer a hurricane. It's a tropical depression now.
Depression. Everyone's depressed along Mississippi and Louisiana.
A lot of people are. I'll tell you what. It's centered now in south central Mississippi. It's about an hour and a half north of New Orleans. And let's check in right now. Chris Miller is at WWL Radio in New Orleans. He and the entire staff there have been covering this storm as it rolled through. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
I know the worst is over there, but tell us what it was like through the night.
Oh, through the night, it was really heavy, heavy rain. The wind, yeah, it was strong, but it wasn't, you know, rip your roof off, at least not by the time it got to New Orleans. But the rain was just intense. Some areas up to nearly a foot of rain in just a couple of hours. And that was enough to overwhelm the way our town drains and put a lot of water into the streets. And as we're getting up and about this morning, finding out just how much of that got into people's homes and businesses.
Let me ask you this. I know that that area sees a lot of these storms come through. How did people react this time? Did they heed the warnings and evacuate certain areas, or are they just trying to wait this one out?
They pretty much followed the instructions. There weren't a whole lot of evacuations that were ordered. Some areas down on the coast that are outside of the levees that protect us from storm surge were told to evacuate, and by all accounts, pretty much those residents cooperated. And then behind the levees, people were told to just shelter at home, don't go out, just ride this out, and that's what people have done. Now that the storm has passed and the sun has come up, people do want to get out and start checking things out, and you know, that can be tricky because local officials are still trying to assess the damage, get roadways cleared off. There are some low areas, some underpasses and things like that where water has collected and you can't drive through there. In fact, there was a live on TV incident last night where a local reporter was out doing a live shot and a car just comes along and right into the water, and driver had to be rescued. So we're still officially, people are being told, hang tight for the next few hours while we try and get a handle on things.
Chris, as you well know, many parts of New Orleans are below sea level, and you get a heavy rain, and it just collects, it pools up. Are there some serious flooding issues this morning?
I wouldn't say serious flooding issues. We did have a problem with just drainage. Our drainage system can handle, you know, maybe about an inch of rainfall in an hour, inch to a half inch, but we had several inches in just a couple of hours. So a lot of streets went underwater. We're still getting a handle on if any homes went underwater, I should say underwater, had water in their house. We have heard reports of people with an inch of water covering the floor, some areas up to a foot of water, and the numbers on that are still coming in.
And you mentioned the levees. How are they holding up?
Oh, they were fine. The storm surge here was not anything that would have threatened those levees.
Good enough. Chris, listen, thank you so much. We appreciate it. That is, for the most part, good news out of New Orleans this morning. That is Chris Miller at WWL in the Crescent City. So
you see
a lot of rain.
Foot of rain.
A lot of rain.
Good
foot of rain in 2 hours. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's right.
And like I said, in New Orleans, it just collects. And he mentioned the drainage. So
you're under sea level, and you're definitely going to get that flooding being a problem.
So again, right now, Hurricane Rapid, it's weakened rapidly. Hurricane Francine, it went from hurricane to tropical storm, and now tropical depression. In a matter of about 12 hours, it is in south central Mississippi right now, a little bit north of New Orleans. Although Dan Brunoff said this thing could get a little further north and then stall out and
right over
bring incredible amounts of rain to parts of Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama. Might be a wet couple of days in Memphis. It has different names. Some are calling it the Great Detachment. To others, it's Foductivity. Either way, there's a new survey out. It finds 48% of all corporate managers, almost half of the bosses in this country, saying that fake activity is a problem on their teams, with more than a third saying that they sometimes fake it too when they're around their bosses.
Everybody's faking it.
What's behind this? We're going to bring in Dr. Ivan Meisner. He's an expert in organizational behavior. He's written books about it. He's also the founder of BNI.com, one of the world's largest.
Great to talk to you. Thanks for having me.
So look, this is the sort of thing I can remember when I was my first job, all the way back into my teens. I did this sort of thing. Why is it more of a problem now?
Well, yeah, I like to call it clocking in and zoning out, which is more of a problem now. You're right. I mean, when a third of the employees admit that they're kind of zoning out at work, that's higher than I think it was in the past. I think one of the reasons for it is COVID led to online working, and online working really makes it a lot easier to kind of go through the motions at work. I know a person who has two almost full-time jobs, and neither of those two jobs know about the other. And so they're not zoning out, but they're not working full-time for the company that they're being paid full-time for. And it's they're working online completely. So the online work has helped to make that happen, I think.
Is there one industry that really, or several industries, I guess, that you see this a lot more prevalent in than others?
Well, I think it's the industries that are allowing almost total online working. I mean, I heard recently that Zoom has required their employees to come back into the office. I mean, really? Okay.
Yeah, Zoom.
I should tell you something. Yeah. So, and I love Zoom, and I've been working from home for 10 years. So I love working from home, but I think that's part of the problem. And so it's inevitable. This horse is out of the barn. We're not going to bring people back in completely. And so it's really important if we want to get our employees working at home, really working, that we set really clear goals as to what they're supposed to be doing, to have clear responsibilities. We need to prioritize high impact tasks. We need to say, these are the things that need to get done. We need to foster a results-oriented culture. That these are the aspects of your business that we're going to be measuring. And there has to be a lot of communication. In my latest book, we call it communication saturation, where we just saturate your organization with appropriate communication, not nonsense communication, but appropriate communication so that they know what's going on. And the last one, and this is an important one, use technology to track efforts. And more companies are using technology to track whether an employee, and I know this sounds draconian, but when you have a third of your employees saying, they don't really work as much as they're being paid, then it's inevitable that companies are going to use technology to track work.
Could technology also be a part of the problem? Because I'm thinking 20, 30 years ago, we didn't have the distractions we have now. If we got bored at work, we couldn't just sit on our phone for a while.
No, you're absolutely right. It is a distraction, and you get people that are texting and taking phone calls. And look, we've always needed to take phone calls. I many, many years ago worked places where someone would call a landline to my office and say, "Hey, I need to talk to Ivan." It was personal, And that's fine. But the fact that your mobile phone is right there in your pocket has certainly increased this productivity, as it's sometimes being called.
Let me ask you this. We always say, is it the younger generation? Are they zoning out a little bit more than maybe the older workers in the office?
You know, yeah. Yes, and. I'm not going to do the quote correct because I don't have it memorized, but there's this great quote about young people today not being engaged, not being willing to learn, not listening to their elders, being highly involved in games rather than work activities. And that was written by Socrates.
Wow.
Always been a problem.
Every generation looks at the younger generation and says, they're lazy, they're this, they're that. Look, I grew up in the 60s and 70s. Do you think I didn't hear that stuff?
I know. We all did. So if I'm a boss, how can I tell if one of my people is faking it?
Well, I think some of the things that I talked about, particularly setting clear goals and priorities, these are the things that you need to accomplish by the end of the week. And they got to put in the time to do it. And if it's not being done, you know, I run the day-to-day operations of my company anymore. But when I ran it, we would tell employees, we can put tracking software on your computer and we'll do so if we feel it's necessary.
Uh-oh.
And there were several occasions where we put tracking software on computers. And this was before Zoom, before online. Oh, my God. You would be shocked at what we found that the employees were doing. And so for me, it's a last resort, but, and in some states it may not be legal, but if you tell the employees that you're going to do it or can do it, in many states it is legal. And wow, we found some stuff that I'm not sure I can share on air.
I bet.
I was hoping you would.
I'll tell you one of them that I can share. We had one employee that spent hours every week looking at automobile accidents and homicides. And we're like,
wow.
Oh, yeah, this.
Did you fire him because he's a sicko?
It was a woman, believe it or not.
Oh, there you go.
And we let her go. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Yep. If you're bored, you're bored, I guess. Dr. Meisner, listen, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. It's been really interesting. You can connect with Dr. Meisner and learn more about his books at ivanmeisner.com.
What is it, office space thing? So I spend about maybe 15 minutes of actual work.
If you're a boss and you walk up on an employee and there's this sudden flurry of activity, you know.
Hey, we've all done it. I'm not going to say
I have already admitted.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Massive police presence in a shocking situation with a shooting in downtown Dallas right in the middle of the day.
I'm Joe Kelly in downtown Dallas, where we're told three people have been shot and transported after an incident inside the Continental Building, which is the corner of Commerce and St. Paul, right in the heart of downtown Dallas. Now, the interesting thing, the police tell us that the shooter has not been identified, meaning they either don't have the shooter in custody or they don't know who it was out of the three that were transported to the hospital. Either way, still more questions than answers in downtown Dallas this afternoon. I'm Joe Kelly, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
A Dallas man who joined ISIS and became a communications manager for the Islamic State has now been sentenced to 7 years in prison. 27-year-old Omar Kuzu became radicalized and traveled to Syria, where he pledged his loyalty to ISIS and then spent 5 years working for the terrorist group. He was among 1,500 captured by the Syrian Defense Forces in 2020. Kuzu could have gotten 20 years.
Grand jury returns an indictment against a registered sex offender from Duncanville.
53-year-old Doyle Tipton now faces a Class 1 felony of aggravated kidnapping sexual abuse. On June 6, Mesquite police say he took advantage of a preteen girl who was running away from home, offering her a ride, then not letting her out of his van. The victim told investigators Tipton began fondling her. At the time of the arrest, Mesquite Police Lieutenant Michael Kelly says the girl got away when the van stopped at an intersection.
The investigators were able to talk to the victim, get some information as to the location, kind of where she escaped from, and they just began canvassing the area, looking for the vehicle, found it, and were then able to identify him.
The charge carries a possible life prison term. Tipton is jailed on $350,000 bond. From the 24-hour news center, LP Phillips News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, the citizen group HERO turned in 169,000 signatures to get three amendments on the November ballot after the city council came up with three similar but contradictory amendments that were going on the ballot as well.
The Supreme Court's ruling said that the city council could not mess with that language by surreptitiously coming in behind us after the fact and putting contradictory and confusing and misleading questions also on the ballot to mess with that.
So HERO Executive Director Pete Morocco says the three ballot amendments would force Dallas to hire 1,000 more police officers, make the city managers pay performance-based, and allow the city to be sued if leaders break their own laws.
Patrick Crucius is serving 90 consecutive federal life sentences for killing 23 people at the Walmart in El Paso. He's back in the Texas courtroom now.
Shackled in a bulletproof vest and an orange and white striped jumpsuit, Patrick Crucius sat quietly in the pretrial hearing as his attorney, Joe Spencer, argued the death penalty case should be dismissed due to the conduct of the El Paso district attorney, including withholding evidence and taping over 3 hours of phone conversations with his client.
We'd like all jail calls, not just the four that they've alleged that we know that there's actually 15.
Texas District Judge Sam Medrano setting an October 31st hearing to address the motion.
There are very concerning claims that you've made.
In Austin, Chris Fox, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Well, it was a meeting about closing early voting sites, and instead, Tarrant County commissioners decided to add one.
More than 100 people spoke out, upset about a proposal to close some early voting sites on college campuses. County Judge Tim O'Hare says they cost too much, they can't staff them adequately, and many times they're sparsely used.
We're not talking about making it difficult to vote. There are 12 days of early voting. There are 347 voting locations on election day.
But many who signed up to speak says it was nothing more than voter suppression.
Voting on campus is a way to break down the barriers that have kept too many students on the sidelines. It's a way to empower young people to take ownership of their country, to let them know that their voice matters.
In a 4-1 vote, the commissioners approved the addition of a site and kept all the early voting sites on college campuses open. From the 24-hour news center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.